Okay, we're live.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the study session of the University City City Council to order on September 12th, 2022 at 5:30 p.m. Mr. Rose or any members of council, do you have changes to the regular agenda?
Mayor, I have one change that I would recommend. I would like to move from the consent agenda item J1 and have that as item K2 on the city manager's report.
Any other changes? Hearing none. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this item asks that you receive a presentation on the need to separate fire and police dispatch services and how service delivery for public safety will be improved with that separation. Tonight, I have with us Chief Henson, who will be presenting the information on this item. Chief Henson.
Thank you, and thank you all for giving me the time and consideration to hear this. Just up front, I want to start by saying in no way is this a dig at our dispatch that we have now, but just it's to show how overwhelming it is for them to keep up with our police and fire call volume and maintain the standards that give our citizens the best option for dispatching. So, okay. We'll start with the slide if you want to, Mike. All right, so this is a request to improve our dispatching. Next one. All right, so our current system, the current dispatch is service provided by the police department with police dispatchers serving a secondary role as a fire dispatchers. There are numerous medical certified dispatchers in the University City Police Department, and we have no dedicated fire dispatchers on duty. Like anything else in police and fire, while there are similarities, there are differences that have needs that need to be met. So there's no dedicated fire dispatcher on duty, and the focus is mainly on the police dispatching, and it's supervised by the police command staff, and it has a computer-aided system that is a dispatch system that is oriented to police use. Our current CAD system is a 22-year-old system, and it doesn't meet the modern standards of the fire and EMS service, which means it currently doesn't meet the NFPA 2012-21 compliance standards. In doing that, it leaves us open to losing a lot of points on ISO because ISO also rates us on these same values. So the changes of the fire dispatch that we're looking for is just to go to the modern best practices, which is emergency medical dispatchers with a modern CAD system and a vehicle location system for each of the fire apparatus. It also allows intercommunication with mutual aid partners, which is a CAD to CAD system that is currently in the process of being implemented countywide. Communication and data available in fire units on each incident would be real time of the incident live feeds throughout the updates throughout the incident. It also gives us compatibility with the county-funded fire station reporting system through U.S. Digital. What that is the county has approved money to put digital dispatching systems in all the firehouses in St. Louis County. They also put the money forth to put the dispatch transmitter in each of the four PSAPs that are located in St. Louis County. The problem is that University City's 22-year-old system is not compatible with the modern dispatch system, so they're not going to install this system into to our PSAP here in University City. So it also gives us GIS data and ability to route the closest unit to the life threats of serious incidents. Okay, so what we're looking for is to update to emergency medical dispatching, which as most of you know, this is a dispatch to where there's a call taker And then there's a dispatcher. They sit side by side. The call taker is talking to the person on the other end of the line, and they're able to not only triage the call, but give treatment instructions through the telephone while the dispatcher who's sitting beside them is putting the call out. So as the call goes out, they're talking to them, giving them instructions. The other dispatcher is hearing this and putting the notes in the system so that when our people get there, they already know what the problem is and what the treatment is so far, which gives the paramedics the best practice and most up-to-date information when they get there, so they don't have to reevaluate and re-ask a lot of questions. Currently, the UCity dispatch does not provide that information, as they're not EMD certified. This is a short video on what an EMD situation looks like.
Is there sound with this?
There should be.
I can't hear. Perhaps my colleagues can. I can't.
No.
No. Don't know if we'll get the audio to go.
That's all right. So anyway, as you can see, she's sitting there. She's a call taker. She takes the call and she talks to the patient. On her right-hand side there, you see the multicolored screen. That screen is the emergency medical dispatching. So as the person who's calling, say they're having chest pains or they're having difficulty breathing, she starts clicking on the buttons that relate to that. And it gives her the questions to ask along with the treatment until the fire EMS units arrive, whether it be giving the person aspirin or how to do CPR or how to clear an airway. Even in a water leak situation, can tell them what to look for to shut it down, gas leak, how to shut that down. It's a triage of information to help them help themselves before we get there. And while she's doing all this, there's another dispatcher sitting just off to the right of her that's putting in all the information that's going to the fire units. Okay, Mike. So emergency medical dispatching, again, none of UCPD's dispatchers are EMD certified. And the biggest reason for that is they got such a high call volume and not enough personnel to be able to send them to attend trainings or gain the certifications. And it's like anything else, you know, on the police side, there's a lot of certifications that they have to keep up with. Now you throw the fire certifications on top of it. There's just not enough time of the day or personnel to be able to get them to these functions and get them trained. So our current system's function is geared toward the police support and dispatchers maintaining their required police certifications. If anyone has any questions as I'm going through these, feel free to ask. So in emergency medical dispatching, the dispatchers at Central County, they have required since 1991 that they all be certified, which meets the NFPA 1221 compliance. And the initial training and certification that they have to complete before they're even set down at one of the tables to take a call. Central County provides their dispatchers with a continuing education program that recertifies them every 2 years with 24 hours of continuing education. They have monthly hands-on training, and they are all American Heart Association healthcare CPR providers, which is the same level that the fire EMS and emergency room personnel have to take every year. So EMD-specific software is what I was telling you about. It's used to assist the dispatchers in rapidly assessing, basically triaging, and teaching the person on the line how to deal with the situation at hand until we get there, instead of just hanging up the phone and then waiting on the fire department to get there. So our current CAD system, as I said, is 22 years old, and it hasn't had a significant improvement or innovation in the last 12 years. The current system uses a card format which basically is we give them who we want on the calls and they put it into the system. So when they say a call in a certain area, these trucks pop up. Now, if these trucks are not available because they're on other runs, it doesn't fill in them. They have to go to the next card and find the next trucks available. So that's what a card format system is. So it also doesn't give you the location of the fire apparatus, so it doesn't send the closest unit. The system has no live backup or redundancy. So when the current system goes down, the dispatchers have to use pen and paper and telephones to make the calls. So the current CAD system, so it lacks the capability to redirect the closest units to a live threat or to track units that are responding to an incident or to relay information gained after the initial response. One of the things that this new system does is it tracks units going to a call and it will redirect them. The computer is designed to say, hey, this is a more serious call and they're closer, redirect that unit to that call and then kick out another unit for another call. It also has the ability to, with the GIS locator, if we're on the scene of something and we need to evacuate an area, we can say, or we can do it ourselves on a mobile device, that we can say if we're going to evacuate a half a mile radius of this building. When we put that into the geo system, it marks that area, and every portable and every radio in vehicles will alert if you're inside that area. So once you get that area evacuated, anyone that gets into the evacuated area, it'll alarm their radios. So it gives you a geo fence to provide extra safety and to know exactly how far you need to go out to evacuate people. So we don't have the data terminals to do that or the capability on the fire department side. We can't show the on-scene commanders units that are responding to the emergencies. One of the things we can do with this is if we have a house fire and the incident commander gets there and he says, the second unit in, first unit in, bullet pre-connect, second unit in, the last supply line. Well, the way it is now, no one really knows who the second unit is until they get on the scene. Sometimes it's a mutual aid unit. So they come on into the scene not knowing they're the second truck. So then we have to rely on the third unit to lay a supply line. With this GIS system, when the commander says second unit in, lay a supply line, it will be on the screen in front of them. They'll know they're going to be the second truck there. It'll show their times and it'll show them that they're the second truck there. If, for instance, they're coming in and they say, okay, we're going to be laying the supply line, and they see that they're 1,000 feet away from a hydrant, at that point, they're going to need a truck on the hydrant to pump them to get the enough water. They can say, Chief, you know, we're going to lay the supply line. This truck coming in, we're going to lay the supply line. However, we're going to need a truck at the hydrant. So that gives the incident commander the ability to say, third truck in, hit the hydrant for this crew and pump to them, which now it's all done with as the crew show up. Okay, you were second in, he missed the hydrant. Okay, the next truck in, hit the hydrant. And then them lay out to it and say, okay, we need a truck on that. So it can save precious minutes being able to know that coming in, this is the order I'm in, and this is what I need to do before you even get there. Okay, so they use the Tri-Tech Enterprise computer-aided dispatch system, which has that GIS capability that I was talking about. It not only knows where the trucks are, but where the people are that are wearing the radios on their side. So again, it helps in an evacuation or a search process. The capability enables dispatchers to direct the closest unit to the live threats and significant calls based on the current location of the apparatus. The mobile data terminals in each apparatus are linked to the CAD, and they receive live updates all the time. So if anything changes at any time, it pops up on the screen in front of you and even beeps to let you know, hey, there's an update that you need to know about. It also has the mapping capabilities. Like I said, it'll show the hydrants, their locations, how close they are to where you're at. It'll show the truck positions. It'll help you adjust the situations because it'll also show any streets that are closed or hydrants are out of service as long as they're reported, which we do report them to dispatch or dispatch reports them to us. It has a live redundant backup system that seamlessly fills in the primary system fails. So no matter what happens, if this system fails, that building goes down that this is in, it automatically kicks to a backup system that you will never know was changed out to another system. I guess that's it for this slide. So the vehicle location for each apparatus, the proposal includes they will install mobile data terminals and wireless routers in each of the fire department vehicles, Sierra wireless routers that transmit current GPS coordinates of all apparatus live back to the Central County and to the handheld devices and the mobile units themselves. So again, it's a Tri-Tech CAD, which has the capability to communicate to other CAD systems. The one thing, if you look down this list here, it shows some use Motorola Premier, some use the Tri-Tech system. Well, until recently, none of them were able to communicate amongst each other. So when a truck from out of town was coming in, whether it be St. Louis City, another truck from the county, they weren't able to see what we were doing and they had to switch to our channels to communicate to us. This system automatically puts you on the correct channels. They see every truck you got coming in, you see which trucks are coming in, which is often an issue too, to know how many trucks you have coming in and where they're at that time to make the assignments. So St. Louis City is working on the Premier one. East Central Dispatch out of Richmond Heights is also working with Motorola Premier one. And they're transitioning to this system. Kirkwood also, who's the only other PSAP in the county, is transitioned to the Tri-Tech system so that all PSAPs can communicate together. And basically it makes it countywide where you can see anything, any truck in the county and where they may be needed. Not only does it do that, but the computer, instead of the card system where it says, this is the truck you're gonna call for the next call and it's out of town truck, it already knows who's out of service and fills in the next truck available. So instead of the card system looking through it and saying, okay, is this truck available? And they say, no, it's not. Okay, well, let me look through the card. Okay, is this truck available? Yes, it is. Then they send it. The computer already knows. So when they're dispatched, it'll send the right unit that's in service. Also, along with this, when we are dispatched to a fire, our dispatch has to call East Central and Central County and say, are these trucks available? And then have them dispatched to whatever address we're going to. This system cross communicates with the other CAD systems and says, hey, U-City's got this call and they need these trucks and they are automatically toned down at the exact same time we are. So that the mutual aid trucks, instead of having that extra 2 to 3 minute delay of having to call and seeing if they're available and getting them on the way, they are automatically dispatched and have that extra 2 or 3 minute jump on what they normally would. So mobile data terminals connected to Central County allow responding units to see the information coming into the dispatchers. Again, every update is live. Everyone who's going to that call and every chief officer will have the ability to see what every conversation is dealing with this incident. It's what care is being instructed to the callers, the patient history, information that should not be transmitted over the radio, like location of hidden keys, door codes, phone numbers, patient information can be relayed through the computers, which are private and secure. Specific information about properties within the city can also be set in the computer, like our plans of our large buildings can be put in there. It's just a push of a button on their screen that shows them the building before they even get there. So if I tell them to hit the high-rise connection on the back of the building, they can pull that up. It'll show them exactly where it's at, and they know exactly where to go when they get there instead of having to come ask and say, okay, where's this at, and where's my hydrant I'm going to? They'll know all of this ahead of time. Units, you can place yourself en route and on the scene by just the push of a button, ensuring that there's no mistake, that no one's heard you go en route or on the scene, so the times are accurate. With accurate times brings us more into compliance and a more reliable system to ensure grants remain within reach of the city for the fire department. So this is a kind of an idea of what you see when this is actually a mobile one off the cell phone of the commanding officer. He can see where the call is, what truck's going on the call, where the truck is located at, He can tell you the speed of the vehicle, the direction they're going, shows when they responded, what they're responding to, and it's broke down and shows each step and each question that's been asked by the dispatcher. So this is just kind of an overview of what you see as the incident commander or even the battalion chief who just needs to know where his trucks are at the time. He can tell you exactly where they're at and what they're doing. So again, with the system of being able to, the computer is able to decide what calls by the information that's put in are more serious than other calls. So if somebody has a knee injury and an ambulance is responding to that and a chest pain comes in, and the computer will automatically tell the dispatcher, redispatch that truck to this location and send another truck to that location because they're right there, they can handle the chest pain. So the CAN will prompt the closest unit to respond and be redirected to the life threat or significant call. I'm sure we're probably going to have the same problem with that little speaker there if Mike clicks on that to hear that we had with the video maybe. Mike, can you click on that speaker? Okay, I guess it's not going to work either. It's trying to play. It's just not coming across. Anyway, that was an actual call, live call that showed how the computer redirected the closest unit and how it was triaged. So the dispatchers are able to locate and have the knowledge of the units, and which also makes the personnel safer and provide the capability to correct human error if a mistake happens. Like one of the big ones we have here is Orchard and Archer are side by side. They sound very familiar. The addresses are the same on both streets, the numbers. So oftentimes they may think they're going to Orchard and it's Archer. This system, if they pass the street, it'll automatically beep and alert and flash red. This is your address. You're going to the wrong location. So it's just an extra step in ensuring that the trucks get there in a timely manner. So dispatch time for NFPA compliance, which is the time of the call to the dispatch time. NFPA 1221 requires 64 seconds or less. University City Dispatch from July 1st, 2021 to 8/30/2022, average time of dispatch from call to dispatch was 4 minutes and 34 seconds. Again, this has nothing to do with how good of a job they do. It has strictly to do with the sheer call volume they take at the time. Okay. Central County has an average of less than 60 seconds on a fire, and it's immediate on a medical threat. As soon as that person says they're having chest pain and that address pops up, the dispatcher sitting beside that person kicks the call out as that person's taking the information. So how this is possible is they focus on fire and EMS dispatching only. They have separate call taker from the dispatcher. They're emergency medical dispatchers, and they're just adhering to the modern practices, best practices for fire and EMS. Central County 911 has a minimum of 11 dispatchers/call takers on duty with an average call volume of 143,000 a year. The University City has 3 dispatchers on duty most of the time with a call volume of 102,000 a year. So you can see the difference in the number of personnel and the number of calls taken. The number of calls taken is not that big of a gap compared to the personnel. And so that's one of the reasons that the calls go out so much faster as far as personnel go. So again, on the dedication side, Central County 911 has a personnel that are dedicated, that strictly their job. The mobile data and router installer and maintenance, there's a department that's responsible for that. Network infrastructure maintenance and planning, there's a person that's responsible for that. The GIS mapping personnel, that's their job. So every one of these, they got a trainer, that's their job. Maintenance of the channel and communications with its members for integration of department information has a department that's their job. So you can see there's 5 or 6 jobs listed there that these people are just dedicated to that specific task, which Also, it enables them to give 24/7 IT service on any issues you may have. So closing comments, you know, focus past versus today. We got a police-oriented focus. We're looking for a fire-oriented focus. We're just looking to hit the best practices in the 2022 with EMD certified dispatchers, establish technology that focuses the limited resources where they are needed in the most efficient method possible, connecting us with our mutual aid partners to increase the response times of us going to them and them coming to us, putting information into the hands of personnel, enabling them to provide the best possible service and providing the most effective and efficient service to our citizens and visitors. All right, any questions?
I'm certain there will be plenty of questions. If we can go back, Mike, and maybe not share the screen for my benefit, then that helps me just a little bit. Thank you. And if someone needs the chief to refer back, I'm assuming Mike can probably help us out. Who would like to go first with questions for the chief? Mr. Clay.
I think Cusick might have been first, actually, so I'll defer to him.
That's okay. Go ahead, Mr. Clay.
Okay. Thank you. Chief Henson, thank you so much for the presentation. Two questions. I didn't see this in the presentation, so forgive me if I missed it. The cost associated with this proposed joining, I guess, of Central County.
Okay, the cost is $300,000 a year. It's a 5-year contract with a 0.5% increase over the 5-year period. So I think the final cost is like $307,000 a year. You have to forgive me, that was in some of the paperwork that got flooded, the exact answers to that question. But yes, it's $300,000.
Understood. And what would be the impact on the police dispatching should this move be made? And Chief, I'm not necessarily expecting you to answer that, but I don't know if the city manager.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say it could only be positive because it reduces the number of calls that police would end up having to respond directly to. And so you'd have an additional, one of the variables, I guess, that I considered is, well, we're gonna spend $300,000, why not just add additional dispatchers for $300,000? But the reality is that we get more dispatchers by contracting out and we reduce the burden that we have on our police dispatchers. So I believe I'm accurate. So I'll turn it over to Chief Henson as well.
Well, one of the things you can look at too is when we have a fire, that's 2 to 3 hours where they have to pull a police dispatcher dedicated to listening to our radio traffic and make sure nothing's missed. Often that doesn't happen because if it's an incident like the flooding the other day, there's no way to pull a dispatcher to just listen to the radio traffic on the fire side of things. They're taking an inordinate amount of phone calls that they're just unable to keep up with on top of trying to answer my calls to maybe find where my people are at. Because, you know, when you're in a situation like that, the radios don't always carry like they're supposed to in a storm. So dispatch has the higher, their towers are a little stronger, so a lot of times calling them to find where my people are and getting them to the right place has to happen. And you know, there was just it's almost an impossibility with the way it is now for them to keep up with that type of situation. But again, like I said, just even a simple house fire that takes 2 to 3 hours, you tie up one of the dispatchers that can't take any other calls.
Could you add on to that answer and explain how the contracted dispatchers would integrate with our police dispatchers? Because we dispatch a police vehicle for all fire calls as well.
Sure. When someone calls 911, it will still go to our police dispatch. They'll pick up the phone. What's your emergency? If the person's looking for a police officer, they handle the call. If the person says, I need the fire department, or I'm having problems breathing, they push a button that's in dispatch. It automatically connects them to Central County. Central County says, picks up and says, police or a fire and EMS, what's your emergency? And so at that point, our dispatchers in University City just listen in to see where to send the police officer, while all the call taking and dispatching and truck involvement is handled by Central County.
So this would not result in any diminishment of our current police dispatch. It would just allow them to solely focus on police dispatch.
Correct. Which I mean, Chief Ham can tell you they're stretched with what they have now, trying to be able to complete the work that they have to do over there. So it's like I said, we're doing with three dispatchers what 11 dispatchers are doing somewhere else, and even at East Central, there's no less than five dispatchers, and the seven departments that they currently dispatch for, they dispatch police and fire, but they have divided to where they have police dispatchers and fire dispatchers. But altogether, them seven departments don't run the call volume that our police and fire do here in University City.
Okay. I had one more question, Mayor. When you look at the call volume, again, forgive me if this was in the presentation, versus police versus fire, what tends to be the breakdown? It was some 102.
You're looking at 90,000, probably around 90,000 of them are police calls.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah, the large majority, 90% are the police calls. Let's just put it that way. There are four, like I said, four PSAPs in the county, public safety answering points, UCity, Kirkwood, Central County, and East Central. East Central handles seven departments: Clayton, Richmond Heights, Brentwood, Maplewood, Olivet, Rock Hill, and Webster Groves. And again, they've recently, there used to be one dispatch agency, and they recently decided that it's best to split the police and fire. They were seeing a degradation in the training because of having to try to do both when they can specialize and have a better outcome dividing them up.
You sick or you? Mr. Hales.
Well, Tim, did your question get covered by Stacy?
No, sir, it did not.
Please.
I'm sorry, Mayor, you're breaking up. What was that?
Please ask your question.
Thank you. Chief, I have several questions. You had explained that the communities that we have mutual aid with, some of them are using the same system or similar system. How many of the communities that we have mutual aid are using this system or a similar system so that these can be networked together?
All
of them?
Yes.
Okay, good. So when this, are they all joining into the system now, or are they currently on the system?
All the ones that are with Central County are in the system now. That's 32 of the 43 departments. Districts and departments, I should say.
Okay, so
32 of the 43. The other seven others are with East Central Dispatch, who are currently in the process of putting this in place. The other three are at Kirkwood Dispatch, which is Kirkwood, Glendale, and DePere. Kirkwood Dispatch is for them, and they have the Tri-Tech system.
Okay, and then so when these other communities join the system, you showed the how many staffers that they have and how many calls they're handling. Do they have plans to increase the amount of staff to increase the amount of calls that may be coming in?
Central County, yes, which is where we're looking to go. They would increase their staffing, I think, by two personnel.
Okay, and then I believe you stated this, but I want to be sure. When the call taker first gets on the phone with the caller. They are trying to triage the situation, but at the same time, by asking a series of questions so that they can help the caller immediately. But you said that immediately someone else is listening in and is dispatching that call?
That's correct. They have a call taker and a dispatcher that sit side by side. And so as the call taker is taking the call and giving instructions, the dispatcher is toning out the call and letting the crews know what instructions are being given.
Okay, good. And then you used a lot of letters from the alphabet in here. one of the things that you said was that the call takers are NFPA 1221 compliant. I have no idea what that means. Give us a half minute explanation of what that means, please.
Okay, 1221 compliant. I'm not sure I can give you a half a minute. It's a book about this thick alone. It's about an inch and a half thick, and it's all on dispatch and what is required to be a fire and EMS and EMD dispatcher. It deals with time and training and the equipment used.
Chief, is it the National Fire Standards?
Yes, it's the National Fire Protection Association standard. And 1221, like I said, it's about an inch or an inch and a half thick. And it's like reading a puzzle.
And Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Kusick, just to give you some background on that, the National Fire Standards cover a great deal more than just dispatching. It covers as well not the number of staffing per pieces of equipment. So, but the section that he is quoting is the section that deals specifically with dispatching, I believe.
Correct. Good. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Any more questions? I think not. Mr. Hales.
Thank you. Thanks, Tim. You answered my question about anticipated call volume. Couple of terms that were mentioned, Chief. When you refer to trucks in your presentation and in your comments, you're referring to both fire trucks and ambulances. Is that correct?
Yes, any emergency response vehicle.
Thank you. And then I think you used the term toning out or related to dispatch. Could you explain what that means?
Well, toning out a truck, when they're in quarters here, there's an alert system that goes off with a tone that lets you know which engine house it is. And then they tell you what apparatus is going out. And that's
what you said, like the dispatch would be able to push a button, send all of that information instantaneously.
Correct. Correct. And they also install into the firehouses. They look like TV screens. They're big computer screens on the walls upstairs and downstairs. Before they even hit the tones, as soon as they start typing for a call in University City, it'll come up on this screen saying you're getting ready to go to this address. And then as they type it in, you know, for a chest pain, for, you know, a 60-year-old male or whatever that has a history of heart problems, that'll be coming across the screen even before the tone is dropped.
Thank you. Has U City Dispatch, and I appreciate and certainly agree, I think there is no criticism of our U City dispatchers. Has U City Dispatch ever, have we ever had dispatchers that were, or a policy rather, that they be EMD certified?
I do not believe so. We bought the program at one time, probably 15 years ago. And we were never able to use it due to just, like I said, the lack of the ability for the dispatchers to be able to go to class and learn the system.
Okay, thank you. And then this is probably not a question that could be quantified and answered now. When you're talking about, I think it was 11 dispatchers at Central County with 143,000 calls, and New City with 102,000 calls, 90% of which was police. I guess my question is, what would the cost be
we know it's roughly $300,000 a year to go this route. We also know that we've got three dispatchers to 11. What would the cost be if, and the amount of people we would have to hire to equal going to central dispatch?
The programming alone, the Tri-Tech programming alone was, depending on what level you wanted, it's broken down into different levels of whether they keep all your data or whether you keep all your data on site. And what you want as far as capabilities go, it was anywhere between $400,000 to $750,000 just for the program. And then you have the annual cost of the program, which was $80,000 to $130,000, depending on how in-depth the program went. And that did not include the police program needed for their report writing.
Okay, thank you. And I have two more questions. I've been watching the clock here. You mentioned about the CAD under a new system would show you specific hydrant locations. We don't currently have that other than our fire department staff knowledge.
Correct. It's on the maps. So when a call comes in for an address, possible house fire, the driver will walk over the map and see where the nearest couple hydrants are before he gets in the truck to go on the call. We don't have any of the electronic software. It's kind of with the current system we have, we could piecemeal all this together, but it's all second party vendors. So you have to open one program. To open one program, you have to close out the other program. And right now, we don't have the capability of even putting our pre-plans into anything that we can see other than downloading them to all the computers that we carry on the trucks.
Okay. And then you mentioned, the very beginning, you mentioned ISO ratings. And I do have one last question after that. Can you explain like to residents what that means, like what an ISO means to residents, please?
Right, it affects residents, but it greatly affects businesses and their ISO rating. It's an insured service organization and they come in and rate your department on the trucks, the manpower, the training, your dispatch center, your backup systems, your fire hydrant systems. And in doing all that, they give you a rating basically from anywhere from 1 to 100. And depending on how many of these categories you fit, your ratings range from a 9 down to a 1, 1 being the best. Right now we're sitting at a 3. We were 1 away from going to a 4 and we're only 9 away from going to a 2. Our communications, I think last time got us a 3.79. This would be a 10 out of 10. So we would not be far away from getting our 2 rating, making our rating even better.
Councilmember Hales, the direct impact to residents is the cost. It affects their insurance, the amount that they pay. So that's why the ISO rating is extremely important to maintain it at an acceptable level.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. My last question is related to the most recent unbelievable flooding that we experienced and the call volume that the city experienced. I believe I heard that the firehouses were getting calls directly from people because of it, the system was overwhelmed. How would this help? And let's just say U City's numbers are, you know, the call volume is so big that they can't take them. Would they be routed somewhere else? And the volume of calls that we had for rescues, fire-related, flooding-related, that the fire department responded to, would this have improved the responses?
Yes, because one of the things this computer program does is as they answer these calls and ask these questions, it will, again, triage them and decide what needs immediate attention and what can wait a little while. And it basically triages them. But the calls are logged to where when you're done with a call and you say, I'm in service, it says, okay, respond to this. Okay, respond to this. There's no drop calls. There's no hold. The calls are taken at that point, you know, in a situation like that, call takers and dispatchers would all be call takers and dispatching. So, and not to mention all supervisors would be on the floor, all IT personnel, they're all trained to be dispatchers. They all started as dispatchers. So, you know, they have the room's about as big as our house one with computers and dispatch equipment that they can activate at any time. And they have emergency call lists to get more dispatchers in.
Thank you. And thank you to all of my colleagues for indulging me. I'm finished.
There are other questions from members of council.
Honorable Mayor, I also brought in Chief Hampton to respond to Councilmember Clay's question about the impact on the police department. Chief Hampton.
Good evening, Mr. Rose, Honorable Mayor, members of the council. Real quick, the impact for the police department is the fact that we will still have to receive all the 911 calls and making sure that that is correctly transported over to the dispatching center. So that is not a alleviation of duties when it comes to specifically manning those calls. So in general, the EMD training is a dessert for the police dispatching labels of that. We do currently have three EMD dispatching, but the fact of the attrition level as to keeping dispatchers in place, just like the manpower shortages in law enforcement, makes it very tricky to go to that extreme of a dispatching center when someone's not making a career out of the field. So that is something that I did want to bring up in that aspect. And if there's any other question that I did miss, then I will feel free to respond to that.
Captain, I'm sorry, Chief Hampton, one of the questions that Councilmember Clay had was the impact on police operations dispatching specifically, and wanting to ensure that those dispatching efforts were not going to be diminished in any way by the addition of this contract. And as I understand that that is accurate, but I wanted you to share kind of your insights into you know, how that would impact dispatching with not having to go through the extensive amount of training that's really required for fire, as well as the complexity of dispatching both police and fire calls.
Yes, I would say the impact is definitely more delicate of a situation when we're responding to EMS calls, specifically the dispatching of that, the attaining of the information, as well as the muni aid when it comes involved with those other departments and other jurisdictions. That's not something that we see on a police level basis that we have to deal with. Code 1000s or mutual contracts with other jurisdictions are already in place through the SLAP, through the chiefs associations, and through the through our accreditation process. So that is something that that would not diminish policing dispatching at this time.
I could jump in. I have a couple of questions. And I'm not sure whether Chief Hinson, Gregory, or whomever, but is the rate that we are paying then for this system the same as the other members? Or since we're coming in later, is this a different rate? Is this more of a co-op situation with everybody? Or how does this expense item break out?
Yeah, I'll defer to Chief Hinson, who probably has better understanding of their how their rates are structured.
Yeah, it's a percentage based on call volume and real estate. Also, you know, your real estate taxes and your call volume and the size of your city. However, it is a co-op. All departments pay into it that are dispatched by them. The actual dispatch agency is owned by five fire districts who started this when they saw the need for it to flourish, because again, they realized that police and fire were so different, and you know, it wasn't as cohesive as a situation as they thought it could be. So they broke off and started this dispatch agency strictly for themselves, and they saw how efficient it was, and it just kind of grew from there.
But we are all paying the same rate per call.
Correct.
And then I assume we must be one of the larger participants once we join.
I'm sorry, you're cutting in and out.
We would be one of the larger participants once we joined, yes, based upon the volume that we have, is what I understand.
Yes.
Is that accurate, Chief?
Correct. But the jurisdictions that initially started this do pay a larger portion, as they are the owners of the dispatch agency. There's, I'm trying to think again, I'm sorry, some of this paperwork got lost in the flood, but you know, there's some of them that are paying upwards of $1 million a year for this. So, but that's the owner agencies.
They're getting something back then.
Well, there's no, I don't know. I don't really know what they get back out of it, other than they are the main voting block. We have a say in what's going on, but they are the main voting block as to how things run. But as far as how our calls are put out, we decide as a department, you know, how we want our calls put out and what trucks are going to go on what calls, as far as how many and the such. We don't follow a template that they just put out there. You decide what your department does and how it does it.
Okay. I apologize if you cannot hear me. My next question is, it seems to me then that we are expending $300,000 then a year, and there are no cost savings on the other side. We're keeping the same amount of personnel. Am I correct?
That's correct.
So this is what we would call a new budgeted item, if you will, for enhanced service, but with there's no debit and credit equality here.
No, the only added benefit is the reduction of the response times, which are, as you know, extremely important.
Well, yep. One of the other things too is they provide all the equipment and all the computers and all the communication equipment. That comes out of their budget instead of ours every year. You know, the communications lines themselves run about $400 to $700 a month. They pay that bill. The computers that are on the trucks, they purchase them. That comes out of the money that you pay them. If they break, they take care of them. So the maintenance and IT side of it, they take care of all that, including some of the software we use currently that we pay an annual fee for, they take care of.
And have we been down this road before? Is this a brand new, we've not brought in and then brought it back out before?
We did it once. I think when Chief Olschreger was here, we were at North Central for a couple of years. But that was North Central, which is now defunct. And that was mainly because the initial price that we paid, basically when the contract was up, they shot it through the roof. So.
Other questions from members of council? Hearing none, thank you to both of our chiefs for joining us tonight. We, as always, appreciate all you do in keeping our community safe, particularly during the last couple of months, because we know it's been rough. So to all of you, thank you very much. And we will adjourn the study session and begin the regular session in 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief.